mention, ahoy! With a little sadness, oh, ahoy! With a tiny note of sadness, ahoy!
Plaintive tone.
It's our last rendezvous of the current series.
Of the current school year.
Of the current school year.
That's right.
That's right. The current epoch and the current series. I'm saying that, it's sort of almost directly implying there's going to be a second series, which we can't be quite sure about yet, can we? But it's nice to think there might
be. Let's cover our bases. They can always edit appropriately. Isn't it exciting we're doing another series?
Oh, it's wonderful,
Isn't it,
Martin?
A shame?
Oh, it's so disappointing that we've not got another series. But wait a minute, we won't get a chance to broadcast that, will we? So we might as well just say, how wonderful to have
it's
another series.
It's a mystery.
Oh, it's a mystery. And this is a bit of a mystery episode as well, isn't it, Martin?
I suppose it is a bit of a mystery tour, isn't it?
Everything we have to talk about today is something of a mystery.
A mystery.
It's me doing my own echo effect.
It's a bit of a mystery.
Mystery. No, sorry, I'm doing your echo effect. It's not going to work, is it? I can't be your...
That's okay. No, it's all, I think that people get the idea, though.
So the first mystery I want to talk about...
Yes, go on.
...is the mystery, Martin, of Vincent van Gogh's final few hours.
They found the tree roots, Craig. It's so exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting.
Oh,
so...
That's
yes,
right.
It turns out that Vincent's last painting was not, I don't know, peasant in a field of wheat or whatever everyone thought it was before.
It was the tree roots.
It was the tree roots. So, Martin, paint a picture for us. tell us the story. Do you know the story?
Well, the story was that, extraordinarily enough, stayed for about 70 days in a sort of auberge, which from my... O-level French, I seem to remember, was something like a youth hostel, but I could be wrong, in a place that I think was called something like Auvers-sur-Oise. It's a river called Oise. I think that's quite hilarious, quite appropriate.
Yeah.
When I have a Oise, it's sometimes a bit of a river.
Yes, or a Oise-sur-Oise. But anyway.
Oise-sur-Oise. Anyway, well... I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, tell us about his final few hours, anyway. Yeah.
Well, he went out. By all accounts, that morning he'd been as cheery as Vincent van Gogh ever was, I suspect. It seemed like a fairly happy fellow. Went off and painted the most beautiful painting of some tree roots just on the Oise there. Then what we know is he turned a gun on himself later that day. Shot himself, I think, in the stomach, which meant that he died. Very, very, very protracted death over the next 72 hours,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. It was a couple of...
I mean, that's just...
A couple of days at least, wasn't it? But there has been some question, hasn't there, always, as to whether... Or recently, you know, there's some art critics have raised this question of whether it was a suicide or whether Vincent was killed. I think they blame two young boys...
Oh, really?
Yes, two
Seriously?
Young boys from the village. I'm not sure. I really don't know what evidence this is based on. But everyone,
really?
It all hinges on what was Vincent's state of mind in those final few hours. And the painting, of course, is very, very interesting because you can either see it as a rather jolly forest scene. One camp, of course, the murder camp, that's how they see it. Or you can see it as a rather tortured picture about life and death and, you know, amidst these upturned roots, these sort of
Well, you're right. I mean, gut-wrenching is it. I mean, there is something visceral about it, in fact, isn't there? Those tree roots, the way they twist and turn elaborately and rather intestinally, and if one looks at it through a sort of Salvador Dali, if I could say, prism, there are little moments in there, there are little gnarls that look a little bit like breasts, and there are little joins in tree trunks that look...
I think that's just you, Martin. I don't think you blame that on Salvador Dali.
No, I don't know. I'm seeing all kinds... Oh, now I look very carefully. Oh dear, that's something I'll never unsee. I'll never unsee that in the gnarl of a French dwarf oak.
I see that little beetroot character from Rupert the Bear. That's what I see. You know, do you know the
I'm
little,
literally seeing,
the one that's made of tree roots? That's what I see.
I'm not seeing. I'm seeing breasts and vulvas. Seriously. I don't know. Should one be looking for terrible, brooding darkness and shadow? But actually, this looks rather lovely. It's got some nice sort of golden tones in there, and beautiful blues, and there's rather an exciting red there, and a sort of kind of mustardy sienna, burnt sienna there. I mean, it's quite jolly. It's got quite a broad spectrum of colour, hasn't it? It doesn't evoke in and of itself something that seems woebegone. As I say, I'm seeing, maybe it's just like a Rorschach, I'm seeing all kinds of naked torsos and things in there. Do you not see that, Craig?
Is that little, like I say, just the little root bowl creature. I think mystery still unsolved, but perhaps one more clue.
Yes. There was a rather lovely demonstration of how they discovered the precise whereabouts of, you know, the precise positioning of the canvas, in fact, because it came from a postcard.
It was a lockdown discovery, wasn't it?
A postcard. A lockdown discovery. It was a postcard, I think, from sort of 1919 or something like that, maybe even earlier, I don't know. But there it was, black and white photograph of this rather pretty road leading into a village on the Waz. And they sort of blended it, didn't they? They sort of blended out of the black and white and into the Vincent, into the broad spectrum of Vincent's suicidal colours.
And it works, doesn't it? It seems to be the same bolus of tree roots.
It is very much the same bolus. By the way, I've now looked up the Raggedy Boy, or whatever he's called, Twig Boy from Rupert the Bear. That's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's horrendous, isn't it?
It's going to be the stuff of, oh my God, that's why I don't read Rupert the Bear. And I never even stumbled across that before.
That's another
anyway,
mystery.
There we go.
How Rupert the Bear ever became a popular children's comic.
Yes, exactly right. I used to have a suit a bit like that in an elaborate a sort of saffron-coloured check. And my friends used to call me Rupert the Boar.
And Martin, another mystery which has been...
Tell me.
At least partly solved. For many, many decades, archaeologists and prehistorians have puzzled over the origin of the mighty stones of Stonehenge. Did you see this story?
Yes, I did see that.
So there's three types of boulders, apparently, at Stonehenge. You've got the sarsen, blue stones, and the altar stone.
Yes. So we think the blue stones, we knew, they came from Wales.
They come from Wales, extraordinarily, yes.
They went to somewhere called the West Wood or something like that.
Exactly. I think they knew they came from the West Wood. They just didn't know exactly where, and now they've figured out where. That's the part of the mystery.
Now they found precisely the quarrying... The bit where they were chopped out. They're beautifully, beautifully made.
They've always known that the sarsen stones came from very close by in Wiltshire and that the blue stones came from Wales. Yeah. The mystery remains of the altar stone.
What sort of stone is it?
Well, apparently that too looks like it might be a type of Welsh stone.
Yes.
I'm steering the controls towards bullshit now, but I'm pretty sure they think it's from a quarry fairly near where the blue stones came from, but not that near.
I mean, they were casting far and wide for their stones, were they not? Surely. I mean, how many stones were not unturned, if that's right? I mean, how far did they go?
Pretty punchy interior designers involved in the building of Stonehenge, because obviously those... They said, you know, don't worry, mate, we've got these sarsen stones, absolutely beautiful, they just come from up the road. And somebody's gone...
Lovely.
No, I don't see, not just the sarsen stones, I want something very striking. I'm seeing blue, perhaps it's blue, and the altar stone, I don't know, polished granite, maybe poured concrete, I don't know, but I'm not quite clear on that yet, but I know they're going to come from a shagging long way away. Apparently they did it in groups, that's what they think.
Yes,
so you'd get together, so, you know... How the hell they thought this would have operated. But the idea at the moment is demand created by interior designer at Stonehenge.
Yes.
Group contacted in Wales. Group in Wales.
Yes.
Quarry said bluestone. Place
blue
on,
stone.
I don't know, trolley.
On a pallet.
On a pallet.
Yes.
Send it a few miles down the road. Met by second group who then have a party. That's it. They think they had a party. I don't know where they get this stuff from. They had a bit of a party, bit of a celebration, and then that group then took it a bit further, and then someone else took it further on from that.
All the way. Someone took it all the way. I've been to parties like that.
And particularly at Stonehenge. I mean, to...
Yeah. Oh, actually,
that was a festival and a half back in the 80s.
What do you think happened at the on the altar? Have they...
We know what happens on the altar, Martin. We know what happens now with those druids. We know what they get up to.
Oh, yes, you're right.
But what they did at the altar then, I have no idea. Some nice flower arranging. I don't know. Stuff from the Harvest Festival.
Yes.
Who knows?
I mean, who knows? I mean, were the sacrifices on the altar?
Definitely.
I wonder.
Are there
sort of runnels and things like that that might suggest the spilling of blood? It's funny. It sounds awful to say that these days. When we were little, people would gleefully talk about the spilling of blood.
Yeah, you don't talk
these
about
days.
That, no spilling of
no,
blood.
No, you don't.
No, it feels
it's
a tragedy.
Yes.
Everything's got so woke, no one spills anyone's blood anymore. What I think we can establish is that no one's got a sodding clue how they got the stones to Stonehenge. Because frankly, the theory we were taught at school, that they put them on boats and they brought them around the coast of the British Isles and then across, through the Bristol
Presumably,
estuary.
Yes, they've got
that's all
the way around
says
the
that's
British
rubbish
Isles.
Now. But this new theory of group by group transport, that's just doesn't make any sense at all either, does it?
It didn't until the party. When they brought up the party, I was like, oh, maybe in those days. Someone says, I'm bringing up about 100 tons worth of bluestone from the mountains in Wales. He goes, yeah. So I was wondering if you would like to meet me, maybe, and take the pallet. He goes, oh, bugger off. And they said, well, we could have a party. And, oh, now you put it in that light. Who'll be coming? As well, it'd be just me and some other porters. Ho, ho, now you're talking. Now you are talking, my friend. I can see how it went. This is basically how Tupperware got sold as well.
It's the same system, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It is. Yes, yeah, that's right.
Having a Henge party. Other mysteries, Martin.
Tell me, yes. Oh,
the mystery,
the world is full of them.
It's the mystery episode, as we know. There's the mystery of life on Mars. There's two camps, really, among modern exobiologists, as you know. There was life on Mars camp, and there is the... Don't be daft, there never was life on Mars. Well, we might get an answer to this because NASA have just launched another rover. It's called Perseverance. Yes. They've just launched it. Launched it to Mars.
It went off. I can't remember. But it's this week. In fact, on the day we're recording, I think it went off this
went
day.
Off
or
this
was
day,
it the day
this
before?
This day of recording. I love the way you've made that so non-specific as for the...
That's right. Yes. Yes.
As literally. For the, as for the series to remain evergreen. On this day of recording, NASA sent a Perseverance rover to Mars. So the idea is it's going to take about 7 months, I think, to get there. Because although Mars and the Earth are at the closest orbit they'll be for the next 2 years, it's still going to take forever to get there. When they do, the rover is going to land in the basin of, they think, what was once an ancient lake.
Goodness.
And the idea is that if there's fossil evidence of life anywhere, it'll be there.
It'll be there.
Now, here's the slightly annoying thing. I found.
Yes, go on.
I don't know if I'm alone in always feeling slightly cheated when I read the hype about a space mission and then you read the small print about what's actually going to happen. So the hype headline, we're going to go and find out whether there was life on Mars. The small print, what the rover is actually going to do is dig up some samples of rock and leave them in a pile for someone else to come and get later.
Really? What, they can't...
Yeah. That's what it's
Can it not analyse them?
It's not coming back,
you see. Sort of...
It's not coming back. It can't analyse
them. Well, maybe it has some sort of... Could they not have put a little microscope and a pair of robot arms?
Well, yes.
On the rover?
Yes.
Surely.
Yes, they could, but that microscope and pair of robot arms would be insufficient to examine the rock and decide whether...
Not
you need an electron microscope, basically. You need something really pretty punchy. Well, there is something on the rover. There's a helicopter. And I use the word helicopter... In the loosest possible sense. It's if you got this as a drone for Christmas, you'd send it back, straight back to Amazon. Yeah, the hard sell for this mission is that it's going to try and figure out not only whether there was life on Mars by digging up a rock and leaving it there for someone to come and get later, but it's also going to try and figure out the suitability of Mars for habitation. And this is something I just don't understand people's interest in. Why anyone,
I don't understand it either.
Why
no.
anyone
why?
Is considering going to go and live on Mars? Can you imagine what we'd have to do? I mean, I know things are bad here, but you can imagine what we'd have to do to this planet before it looked
we'd
like
have to
Mars.
Do.
I mean, Mars is a Class A shithole. I'd rather live on the moon than live on Mars.
Oh, any day. If they do find evidence of life on Mars, that'll be depressing, won't it? Because it'll be to say, oh, yeah, this was once a living planet like yours,
Yes, or it'll be a...
Interesting, yeah. Yes, this is where you'll end up, all red and dusty and full of Matt Damon. Another interesting thing I'd love to know your thoughts.
Yes.
I'd love to know your thoughts on this, if I may, Craig. Portrait of the Queen's just been unveiled, a new one, by Miriam Escoffier.
I know.
What did you make of it? Inevitably, when a portrait of the Queen is unveiled, people are always pretty scathing about it, aren't they? Usually with some justification.
With some justification, yes. I thought it was a nice, I'm a man of simple tastes when it comes to figurative art.
Yeah.
I like things.
Yes.
I like figurative art to look like the thing that it's supposed to be figurizing.
I mean, elements of it are quite good. Some of the depth isn't quite right. Some of the perspective is a bit awry, I think.
A little bit awry.
Just on the Queen herself.
My main complaint would be it doesn't look like the Queen.
That's an important one, yeah.
I thought the facial features were a little like those of Helen Mirren. And I wonder whether the artist got slightly confused.
Yes. Got a bit mixed up.
Got a bit confused there.
I think there's something strange going on around the hips.
Oh.
The angle at which the knees come out, and then the angle from which from the waist up, the Queen seems to be facing... There are two different sittings there, I'd say. From the waist down, she's facing one way. From the waist up, it's almost like that was a different sitting, and she was... I can't quite see the connection between the legs on the torso.
I tell you, if you want to see...
I feel like I'm talking about the Van Gogh again now.
I tell you, I still think Rolf Harris's picture of the Queen is hard to beat in terms of terrible portraits. Rolf Harris, of course, another cancelled individual, but this time for very good reason.
Yes.
This is the one where an artist often do this. They impose their own characteristics on other people. It really looks like Rolf Harris with a pair of false breasts and a white wig on. The teeth are identical to Rolf Harris's teeth. The Queen is a very beautiful woman. The woman that Rolf Harris has painted, I think, would be pretty close to Rolf Harris's mother. I'm just wondering whether United States can. I'm a little bit pushed to get this portrait done in time. So I wonder, Mum, if you could just sit in for a couple of sessions, so I could make my delivery date, because I'm getting paid 50% up front, and then another 25% when I've finished the bust, and then I'm getting the final 25% when I've done the teeth. So is this sounding at all that Rolf Harris? I don't know.
It
sounds Australian.
I tell you who she looks like. You know, I've worked out who it is she looks like in the picture.
Yeah,
it's like Tony Blair. Looks like a bit like Tony Blair.
Yes, that's it.
She does. She looks like Tony Blair. Oh, Tony Blair. Do you know what, though? Because, as you'll probably remember, my father was he was the Bishop of Colchester.
Of course. Yeah.
And Colchester not being terribly far, I suppose, from Sandringham. I don't know what the reason was, but we used to see quite a bit of the Queen from time to time. She would come by Colchester. And the one thing no one ever says about the Queen, but it's absolutely true, she's very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. She's got the most extraordinary, exquisite, clear, clear blue eyes.
Martin, I agree with you.
When she looks at you, oh,
What the Queen doesn't deserve is this... I think she's not been best served.
This cavalcade of mediocre
portraits. I don't understand. It's quite a good one, actually. I think it's more sort of a photograph, but in the one with her eyes closed. I think maybe because it is a photograph, probably.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think it's called the Lightness of Being or something.
Yes.
Lovely.
It's quite evocative. It's quite...
Yes.
It's quite beautiful.
It's quite a powerful statement that. It was a shame her eyes are closed because, as I say, they're very beautiful. But
eyes closed can suggest so many things. It can suggest obviously being asleep is one of them. It suggests death in a way, but it also suggests trust, which I quite
letting go. Yes. Yes, you're right.
And faith. It suggests faith. Because if you close your eyes, you demonstrate faith and trust in the people around you. So I think that's rather beautiful. I suppose this is the mystery episode. And the mystery here would be, why has no one ever painted a really great portrait of the Queen?
That is a mystery. Mystery.
Martin, we've done it all topsy-turvy this week, but I want to find out how the pick is going at Dunwall.
Well, the pick is nearly done. We ended up going with our Romanians because I felt that we would always go with the Romanians. They're the people we've always used, and we've become very fond of them over the years. And then it looked like they weren't going to be able to come, so I got my land girls. Oh, the wonderful Kerry and Cora. They're wonderful women. I got them to draft in their friends to help. And then it turned out the Romanians could come, and I didn't have the heart to sack off the land girls, as it were. And so then what happened? They came along, and as you know, they've all been down the pub every night, and they've become tremendous friends. But of course we have a different... We had to negotiate a different level of payment. And it's all become very ugly and difficult because now the Romanians are demanding an hourly wage along the same lines, because obviously they think it's despicable that we hired someone else to do the job. Oh, dear. We were just trying to do the right thing, you know, Craig, but, I mean, I'm just working out how much I've got to sell to cover it. I mean, it's absolutely ruining it. If there's ever another Dunwall Mange 2 groan, I'm not sure. At the moment, it really looks... I mean, it looks like it might ruin me.
Yes, I can't help suspecting, Martin, that broke for you means something slightly different to me. You're down to your last sort of 250 grand. And that brilliant John Lennon quote, isn't there? Yes, I know, I'm feeling the pinch. I'm down to my last 2 million.
Yes, I mean, yeah, we're not in Lennon territory yet, but yes, we're in Lennon country.
Just not that bad yet.
Yeah, it's not that bad yet. No. But, you know.
I didn't mention this to start because they're very mild, but I've begun to develop what I think are the symptoms of coronavirus.
Oh, good heavens.
Yes, as you know, I thought I'd passed unscathed, but Catamaran has had coronavirus. She's been tested. She had the swab test and... That came up positive, yes, and then, yes, of course, we followed up with the antibody tester. And it turns out she's developed antibodies.
I mean, she is one big antibody, that beautiful feline.
Bless her, yeah, she's got the T cells of an amoeba. She's extraordinary. Yeah, but as you know, I'm isolating anyway because I had... Track and Trace got hold of me because, unfortunately, when I visited the corner shop at the end of my first period of quarantine, I seem to have been in contact with someone with coronavirus. I don't know. I catch it from Catamaran? Oh, no. Did I catch it when I went for the pint of milk? I'm not sure, but I've had a sore throat.
Who knows?
A little bit of a temperature. Felt a little bit under the weather. There's nothing too severe. Nothing too...
Here's the big one, really, Greg. Can you smell?
So far, I can smell. Yes, I can. Yes, I can mainly... I really must give this carpet a hoover, actually. But yes... Yes, I can smell. How long that will last for, I don't know. What it does mean, though, Martin, is I have to begin a new period of quarantine starting today.
So, Craig, what's on the cards? What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? What, in my continued Lockdown. And you'll continue. Don't worry about me, yes. Martin. Do not worry about me. In fact, there's a little project, actually, that...
Yes, go on.
I thought I would make myself just a little... a mini... And it's funny, this has brought it up today. It's like a mini henge. A mini stone henge.
A mini henge?
I thought I might...
Out of stones or a privet henge?
Oh, a privet henge. Yes, not from real stones. But I thought I would grow the... No, I'd have all the logistic problems that, you know, we talked about in the programme.
Think of all the parties you'd have to have.
You know, like I get something like either a box or maybe a beech because it grow a little bit faster. You know, I plant these, you know, because I can order them online, get them delivered to the door.
Yes.
I'd sculpt these trees into a little... Yes. Henge in my garden.
That's lovely.
And tell you, Martin,
would you
what goes on that altar stone is nobody's business but mine.
Nobody's business but yours. Absolutely. Would you line it up astrologically?
Yes, I mean, that would be part of the fun. Good. I mean, there's a lot of fun involved, as you can imagine.
Oh, it's all about fun. Yeah. Maybe you could lay catamaran on it, where she could maybe see out her final...
out her final moments, perhaps. Yes, that's a sweet...
Oh, it's like Thomas Hardy.
That's a sweet, sweet
lovely
thought. Yeah, just...
Yes.
Yeah, and then maybe I would think that the moment had come and I'd be overcome with emotion, and I'd just see her little pad twitching again. I think, oh!
Oh, she's making... There we go.
Making a
comeback.
Oh, so yes, and I could lay her gently back down in her cat tray, prop her up on the cushions again. There we go, just get the cushions there.
There we go.
Sprinkle a little bit of water on her face. Oh, I forgot she doesn't like water. Then I just take a little bit of water, I just put it on her lips, just so that she could just, tip of her tongue, she would just touch it like that. That's
dry,
how she, just in case her lips get dry.
Rasping tongue.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a little
yes
dry rasping what tongue a... there. And then I could take a little pipette, as I do, and just dip it in some sugar solution and just try and get a little bit there in through one of her nostrils, because she can't take it through, she can't take it orally anymore. So just, there we go.
No.
Yeah, that's...
There we go.
Anyway.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, so...
Goodness.
You know, I'm keeping a positive... you know, I'm staying positive.
Yes.
But unfortunately, the moment at which I'll be able to set foot outside my front door in Chingford has receded a little into the future. But anyway, I'll keep you posted. Probably a good thing. We're about to have this little... break before...
Oh, a little hiatus, a little
hiatus
break, yes.
Before...
Or maybe we'll come back for another series, but that's in the hands of the gods, because it's a mystery.
Mystery.
Well, what an interesting series of mysteries we've uncovered without necessarily finding the answer to any of them.
I know, but that's the fun of a mystery.
That's the nature of mysteries.
I love a mystery. And the whole...
Oh.
Barrel of laughs when it comes to a mystery.
Yes,
yeah,
of the mystery.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite right.
Martin!
Well, in that case, I suppose...
Totes emosh. Totes emosh. I can see the...
Totes emosh.
I better just cock my leg and throw myself over into the skip there. Whew.
Oh, yes, you better have... Sorry, I didn't know what you...
Yes, no, don't worry.
Some elaborate exercise.
Just,
yes, okay. Good.
Martin, look, it's dehoy for now.
Listen, it's lovely. Dehoy for now. We'll rehoy shortly. I'm quite sure.
Maybe sometime in the autumn. Shall we rehoy?
Oh, I'd like that very much.
I'd like that very much, too.
Very much indeed. Meantime, keep your cultural antennae twitching.
And
let me know
what
you get up
keep
to.
Keep your finger firmly on that cultural pulse. And,
on the cultural pulse, yes. Finger on the cultural pulse.
Exactly. And we take the accurate... Probably have to do it rectally. Take the accurate temperature of culture.
Of
in
culture.
The very
the prevailing
near
culture.
Future.
Near future. What a lovely idea.
Dehoy!
All right.
Dehoy, Martin! Dehoy!
Dehoy, Craig! Dehoy!
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard. This was a Hattrick podcast.